Hey guys, hello to my listeners today. You're on with Ashley Goring. It's now summer has ended. Kids are back in school. Yay. Not that I really know because my kids don't go to school though.
Not yay.
But I'm glad the heat is starting to go away because I have a bedroom on the second floor and it fucking sucks, man. And so let's introduce our guest today. This is my friend Terry. How's it going, Terry?
Good, thanks.
Good. Terry and I have actually known each other for 4 or 5 years, I guess, now.
Yeah, at least. Reluctantly at times, but...
We didn't work together. We worked in the same office because there was two different businesses in the same office. And I mean, I'm really grateful for because some days you made my days go by even faster.
For sure.
We just bullshitted a lot.
You used to feel sorry for Ashley dealing with super annoying vendors and other clients. And my door was right there, so I could always hear it. Poor Ashley, she's a hero.
Dealing with especially your one client. We won't name her, but you know, there was one client that I think I was the only one in the other office that had to deal with. But anyways, that we had some good times in that office, and I do miss some of those days. They were good fun working with all of you. But anyways, Terry, why don't you kind of tell everyone like what you do? About a little bit about you and your business wise and that.
Wow. That's kind of complicated. I actually run multiple businesses. I guess you could call me a serial entrepreneur.
It's kind of scary.
it is a little at first, but it's just it's kind of like the thing I know how to do best. So that's just what I keep doing. When I have extra money, I get another business. So I have, mainly I'm a tax accountant actually. So I started, that's where I make most of my money. That's where I built my first business. But to expand from there, I own a hockey league and a childcare business and a separate bookkeeping business. And I'm doing all kinds of different things like that. Just because I like to be able to kind of like control the growth, and it's really fun actually. So there's lots of experience with customer service and problem solving, and I actually enjoy that.
Yeah, you're very good at problem solving. Like, it's like scary how much you like remember certain numbers and everything. I remember that. It used to freak me out. I was like, oh my God, like you're like one of those kind of computers that you can just like talk to.
Ladies, I guess I have my moments, but man, I can tell you more bad stories than good stories. Maybe you just don't remember the good ones. So there you go. My problem solving that turns into disasters at times for sure.
So, Terry's business, Pi Business Solutions, actually does our Soft Metal Experts, our books. And so if any businesses out there are looking for your books to be done, go to Pi Business Solutions and give them a call. That's your free advertising.
Thanks for the free advertising. Yeah, we do everything related to business accounting. So that's everything, taxes, GST, payroll, you name it. We do it anywhere in Canada, except Quebec, weirdly. No offense, but our software doesn't do that. And
it
wasn't,
it doesn't go that way.
I wasn't expecting the free props, but I'm never going to turn that down. Thanks, Ashley.
No problem. And yes, I don't think I've ever mentioned, but our company is Soft Metal Experts. So if you're looking for any exterior work, give us a shout. I'm giving us some free advertising since apparently I've never done it before. My husband will appreciate that.
There you go.
But, so moving on. So before we talk about, our topic for today, and I'll mention what our topic is. I like have to tell someone about this because I've only told Tim about it, but he said it was the most ridiculous story he's ever heard about something that happened to me at Dollarama. And I have to say it because it's so ridiculous. He thought it was like I had made something up from a movie, honestly, because it was, I know, every great story must start with, guess what happened to me at Dollarama?
Of course, yeah.
So I was with the girls one day. We were just going in there in the afternoon, and I had the girls, you know how tiny their fucking carts are, right? It's a dollar store. So their carts that you're pushing, they're very small, right? Like the girls can literally knock them over if they lean one way kind of thing. That's not what happened. Okay. I'm not like spoiling it already, but
spoiler alert.
But anyway, so the girls were like in the cart cause it's just easier to keep them contained. Everyone knows I have very young kids. And anyway, so we go down, of course, the backyard aisle kind of thing. And I saw like these fake figurine birds. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get these for the backyard and everything. And as I'm putting them in the cart, I put like two or something. I think I was like debating on three. So I put these birds in the cart and then I'm like looking at it and I'm like, this is dollar store. Let's be real. How good is this quality? This is probably going to break really easily. Like, no, I don't need one of these. I really don't. So I like, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I'm start picking one up. Like, I'm going to put it back. And then all of a sudden I notice the girls have picked it up, one up, and they drop it in the cart and its feet fall off. And I'm like, oh my God, fuck. Like what? Now I have to pay for this fucking bird that I decided not to get, you know, like I'm going to have to go tell them. So I'm putting the one that's not broken. I go to put it back and it's like, everyone knows I'm really short, okay? And I don't think I was wearing my heels that day, surprisingly. And I go to put it back up, and it's like a fourth shelf up. And as I put it up, it's like round stomach. Like, it like leans onto its stomach, and it starts rolling off. And I do like this jump in the air to try and get this bird. And it like goes flying off of my fingertips. Like, I just basically boosted it up more, and it went flying. And it lands beside like this mother and her children, and the kids just scream bloody murder as it smashes beside them.
This is exactly like a certain game we all like to play. Did you kill a bunch of green pigs with that bird too? That's hilarious.
And so now like this mother's like, oh my God, and everything like freak. And then of course, what are my girls doing? Mommy, you broke that bird. Mommy, they're like pointing, and I'm like, shh, I know I broke the fucking bird. Like, oh my God, now I have to fucking pay for these two. So now I'm trying to clean up this one bird off the ground, and I can't find its face, for love of God.
It's embedded in the other mom's head or something. Oh no.
Like, it's just, like, it was so ridiculous. Okay. Like, I can't find this face, and I'm like, oh my God, girl. So luckily the other bird that the girls were holding, like, I just put the feet back on and I got it on the shelf and everything. I'm like, okay, this is bad enough with this one bird, okay? Like, this is really bad. It's Dollarama. Like, how much can these be? So I'm walking around with this fucking, like,
shattered bird.
I'm like, we have to go find someone and tell them, okay, girls? Like, I'm just so mortified at this point in time. Like, how could this even have happened? So I'm walking around with a shattered bird, pushing this cart with the girls in it. And I go to the, like, two aisles over, and there's this guy, like, stacking, like, chips and that on in the aisle. And I go up to him and I tell him, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know what happened. This bird just like fell off as I like went to grab it, and it just smashed. Like, I don't know what happened exactly. You know, like, I'm trying to cover up my fuck up, like, in the best possible way. And he's going, okay, so, and I'm like, well, I'm really sorry. Like, do I need to pay for it? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, do you not work here? And he's like, no. And I'm like,
what?
I'm like, okay, that's funny. I'm like, you just decided to stack shelves for free, I guess. Like, okay, so I just move on, because now I'm like annoyed. I just had to like admit to a perfect stranger like that.
Just making it worse, and the kids are standing there, mom broke the bird.
Yeah. And so like I find someone at the other end, and I tell him, like, I'm really sorry, I don't know what happened. He's like, oh, they're so cheap, don't worry about it. Like, no, you don't have to pay for them. I'm like, okay, so like now I'm feeling better, and I like continue shop. Anyways, 2 weeks later, I go back to, yeah, I don't know why I went back to Dollarama. I had to get something. And the guy that's fucking had been putting the chips on the shelf is behind the cashier. And I'm like, I thought you didn't work here. Like, what the fuck? Like, this guy was just being an asshole for no reason when I was like in such a crazy spot of breaking this fucking bird. Anyway, so this is my Dollarama story. It was absolutely ridiculous. Like, I just feel so mortified about what had happened. This girl shrieking because this bird exploded beside her, which Tim thinks was the best part of the whole story.
So I think we've learned two things from that story. The first one is, the next time Ashley goes to Dollarama, she needs to invite us all. And at least one person with a camera. And the second thing we've learned is, nobody admits they work at Dollarama, even when they're literally working at Dollarama. Standing there working at Dollarama, deny. It reminds me of that Shaggy song, "Wasn't Me."
Yeah, so apparently that guy does. People just, you know, go to Dollarama and they just stack shelves for free, apparently, and for no reason. It's just good Samaritan, and good on you people for doing that. Anyways, going back to our topic for today. So our topic for today is accounting.
As everybody immediately tunes out, there goes half the listeners.
We're not going to bore our listeners. No, it's Dungeons and Dragons, of course.
Oh, perfect. we We can do that. Be careful. That's actually getting way more popular.
You wish,
Jared. It's more popular now than it's ever been ever.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'm not precisely sure why, but it is. It's taking off. It's
Terry's admitting a very true fact here about himself, clearly.
Ladies. I mean, lady.
So, it's actually about co-parenting. So, let's start from the beginning. So, how long were you married for with your ex?
We were dating and close for about 7 years and then married for 10.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So together quite a long time.
17 years, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's actually a lot longer than I had even known. And how long were you married before then you got pregnant?
7 years. And it wasn't me who got pregnant, just to be clear.
Well, yes. Like, you as a couple.
Oh, you in the plural. Oh,
yes. Like, you guys, like, before you guys had a baby.
No, yes, 7 years, roughly.
Okay. And then, so you guys had one child together, which was a daughter, beautiful daughter. What was your feelings about becoming a dad?
Oh, I loved it. Actually, we had talked when we were young about maybe not having kids, and it was me who pushed for it, to be perfectly honest.
Really?
Yeah, I've always loved kids. I've always loved them. It's a funny trade-off. When you have kids, you will sacrifice a certain type of lifestyle, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I really did want kids. I've always really loved kids. Like I said, I have a childcare business, and it's great. They're so adorable and fun. We kind of thought, well, maybe we'll have this one kind of lifestyle. And then I thought, oh, maybe not. Maybe we'll just integrate our kid into that lifestyle. Like, as an example, we had a baby. She was 13 months old when she made her first flight to Japan. So
Oh, wow. We're
just like, yeah, you have a kid, do stuff anyway. Whatever. It's fun.
Oh, that's definitely true. Like, I think on some level, especially in the beginning, you know, you're trying to kind of figure out, like, how to... This little bundle of joy is going to fit into all these routines.
Yeah, what's going to change?
You know, but there's some things that, you know, a baby can come and do with you. Like, Tim and I used to go for dinners all the time when our firstborn was firstborn. Like, all the time. We used to bring her with us. If she started fussing, I fed her. I mean, at times, like, I just, you know, put the thing on and breastfed. Like, who fucking cares, you know? Like,
I totally agree. I recommend it strongly. I think if you shelter your kids, yourself and your kids from everything, mm-hmm. there's a couple of traps you fall into. But my ex, luckily, she was a lot like me in that sense. Like, she took the year off, the mat leave off, mm-hmm. and she went so cabin fever stir crazy. And she was in every library program. She was just out as every day if she could. Out. Take the kid.
That's great.
Yeah, you pack her up and you put her in her blankets and all that junk. But it's totally worth it just to get out and be doing stuff. And if you don't, I honestly think a lot of parents fall into a trap of the child ends up being the complete and total focus of their lives.
Yeah.
And then they wake up 18 years later. They don't know each other. They have, they've had sex twice in 18 years and they've completely forgotten that they ever had a relationship in the first place. And the child's become the focus of everything. And then the next thing you know, they're 55 and they're going, geez, we have no kids.
What do we do with our life?
What's your name again?
Yeah. Like, what do we do with our life? What did we want to do?
Yeah. And I kind of see people fall into that trap sometimes and it kind of freaked me out. And even though I'm not with my ex anymore, that was one thing we always agreed on, parenting. Like, and that's kind of the subject of the conversation today too. So
when your daughter,
at least we agreed on that.
That's good. That's a key thing right there. It's
one of the four big ones.
So after your daughter was born, you actually had some complications right after she was born. And can you kind of just briefly tell us about that?
I'll try to be brief. Basically, the doctors told us that she had a crazy birth defect where her esophagus wasn't connected all the way to her stomach. It happens. It's really weird. And then they scared the ever-living hell out of us because it can be a very severe problem and it requires immediate surgery. And that's always dangerous when you're one day old.
Yeah.
But then they did a couple more tests and things looked good and bad and they just kept scaring the hell out of us. And then they said,
parents, there's so many emotions running at this point.
Oh, we were terrified. That was the last time I bawled my eyes out because I felt so helpless. And the doc, when the surgeon came back and said, we don't know, that was worse than anything. I'm good at dealing with problems, but I like certainty and he didn't know. And he's the guy. Anyways, it turned out that's not what happened. What they actually did was when they were doing the suction on the baby after she was born, they rammed one of the suction catheters through her esophagus. They punctured it. And then every subsequent catheter they put in her mouth and down her throat went in the same hole. So they couldn't get anything into her stomach, and they thought that it was a birth defect, but it turned out it was just they rammed a suction catheter through her esophagus, which is pretty crazy. But guess what the prescribed solution is? Do nothing, it heals in 11 days. So we left the hospital 11 days later, none the worse for wear, but holy, scared the hell out of us.
Well, no kidding.
But she was fine. She's fine. It just heals over, I guess, and no complications and whatever. It's kind of like, I've always, people are like, oh my God, you're suing them, right? I'm like, why? It's kind of like you go to the mechanic to get your brakes fixed and they ding your door. Well, if they fix the door, who cares? And it's the same kind of thing. Like the kid's none the worse for wear and she's fine and we got through it, but you.
How did you and your ex, how did you guys deal with that situation together? Like that's a high tense situation and emotion wise, like how did you guys deal with it together?
Well, the first night was really, really hard because they moved the child to a different hospital and they left my ex at the birth hospital. So I like, where can I be? Right. So they had to separate those two. So I ended up staying with Erica at the children's hospital as best I could,
which I'm sure your ex probably wanted anyway.
Yeah, she did. She did. But it was hard. Because we're supposed to be together for that.
Of course.
And then she has to recover. She just gave birth. And then, you know, like we're talking hours after the baby's born. So we had to go. And then they put the baby in a little microwave or whatever, and they heated her up, and she was all fine.
Not actual microwave.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like, whatever, an incubator? Is that what you're trying
to say? Yeah, that's right,
okay.
Yeah.
Like, not a microwave, everyone.
No, it is. It's like a little baby microwave. It's really cute. And then it's all nice and warm, and they put her in these blankets, and yeah, so it was really hard at first, but then as we started getting better information, then we realized everything was going to be fine, and then they released my ex from the one hospital, I think about 36 hours later. So it was no big deal. And then we were kind of all together and we just lived at the hospital. And then when we weren't at the hospital, your kid's in the best possible care, right? There's eight nurses and a head nurse. And there's like, you can be a volunteer baby hugger, which I didn't know. Like we came back one night and there's some random lady hugging our kid. And I'm like,
really?
Hey, that's cool. And I'm like, who are you? And she's like, I'm a baby hugger. I'm like, that's a thing. So, hey, if you ever want to volunteer as a baby hugger, you can totally do that. And I'd recommend it because they're so cute.
Dude, there are so many people that just love newborns. Like, I've never heard of that, but I'm sure that if people are listening to this, you might get some people actually volunteering for that.
Yeah, why not? It's awesome. It's awesome. But yeah, it was a little tough. We couldn't hug our own daughter until she was like 11 days old because she was covered in IVs and stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like, because they're so fragile that age too, right? You're kind of scared too when there's IVs coming out.
Oh, yeah. There was tubes everywhere. She had
right?
like 10.
Like, so. It's just, you get so scared to touch them. Like, you might do something wrong. And it's, I understand that. So how old is your daughter now?
Just turned 7 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my God. Really?
I know. That's what I keep saying too.
Oh, my God.
She's like,
God.
Yeah, she's getting tall, losing teeth.
Oh, my goodness.
Being a smartass, making totally corny jokes. I have no idea where she gets that from.
Oh, no idea at all, right? No, no idea.
Not my ex. That's one thing we did not have in common.
No, I don't know who she gets that from. So how old was she when you guys decided to separate?
Just about 4. So okay. 2016. Yeah, she was just about to turn 4. She was just
okay.
About...
And what was the reason for you and your ex ending, if you don't mind me asking?
It's kind of personal, but I let people fill in the blanks. She kind of did something that was a showstopper, and that was the end of that. So
okay.
It's like, found out about something, and then that was on like July the 15th, and I was in
That's
a new place
a
on August the 1st.
Okay,
like that.
So that was fast then, okay.
Yeah, well, frankly, I don't think it... I think people spend a hell of a lot more time deciding to get separated than they do deciding to get married. So it's not like any of this came as any surprise to her, me, or people who know us both well. So it's just, I guess that's something we'd been delaying too long anyways. But then when there was like finally a showstopper event, it's like, okay, fine. Obviously, time to separate. So literally 2 weeks later, I moved out and that's it. So that was 3.5 years ago. So about half of Erica's life now, we've been separated.
So how did you guys tell Erica that you were no longer going to be together?
We didn't. Actually, we just moved, and then...
Do you not feel it was something important, though, to tell her at that age?
No, actually, I really don't, because they don't understand anyway, and they don't... At 3, nope, they don't care. So, what...
See, because Kira's 3, and, like, she would be very confused if Tim moved out. That's why I asked that.
Yeah, so I think we just said, Daddy's got a house, Mommy's got a house, and that's it. And And then she would go back and forth between us, obviously. And she genuinely didn't seem to care, right? She's got her own bedroom and everything all set up in my place. She has her own bedroom and everything set up at mom's place. She sees her mom and dad, and it's just normal. Some parents have two houses, and she seemed to adapt pretty much immediately. There's no nothing.
So she didn't have, like, any kind of weird, you know, like, dad, you don't leave, don't, you know, like, you didn't have any of this kind of struggle, just because you guys handled it, just, it was not really a drama fest, I guess, is probably what happened.
It really wasn't. And, yeah, it and just happened. Honestly, she's never been emotional about it. Like, I would love to get inside her little skull and go, what do you think about all this? And I think, honestly, she would just shrug and say, some people have two houses. That's it. But
that's kind of like your attitude, too, on a lot of things, right? So she obviously takes after you for that kind of calm demeanor, right?
I'd like to think so, right? Like, anybody with kids knows that kids react to parents' reactions, right? Like, if the kid falls down and you go mental, she's gonna turn into a screaming puddle.
Yeah.
And if you go, nothing looks broken, walk it off, you're fine. The children react to how you react to a very, very large extent. So we were just super casual. It's like, okay, I live here, she lives there now. And candidly, they just don't know the difference. And she will later, like when you're 10, when you're an adult, we can ask all these questions when we're grownups, or when you're 10 or 12, hey, why did you and mom split up? She's never asked.
She's still pretty young.
Yeah,
to
4 years,
to really
she's
be,
never asked, not even once. She's just like, this is the way it is. And we didn't make it dramatic at all. Mm-hmm. And so she's just like, this is the new normal. And she fits right in, and she gets lots of love in both places.
So did you have like some kind of, like, before, when you knew you were going to be moving on, that did you have like some kind of feeling like you felt like a failure, like that you weren't going to be there living with your daughter every day, like something had went wrong, like mentally for you, that like this is not right. We should live together every single day. Like, was there something that went through your mind?
So in my case, it wasn't that bad, right? Because I like to think of the big picture, and I really believe that if your marriage isn't working out, rather than live 15 years of your own life in misery,
mm-hmm.
and also show your child
misery,
what a dysfunctional relationship looks like, I don't think that's in the child's best interests, and certainly, clearly not in yours.
Mm-hmm.
If you're with somebody who you think you can be reasonable with, which is where my ex and I have been super lucky in a sense, it definitely hasn't been perfect, but we've always been reasonable. Like, even when we were talking about how to split things up, like, one of the things you have to talk about is custody.
Right.
So
that goes into one of my next questions is what was the plan for once you guys split up? How did you share this custody?
It was so easy for us because I already knew that there was no circumstance on earth under which I would accept less than 50% custody,
mm-hmm.
and I would spend every cent I had to fight for it. And so I just asked my ex, because I figured what she was going to answer, and I said, what's the lowest percentage of custody you would ever accept? And she said 50. And I said, good, me too. So I guess we just decided.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of the custody discussion. It's never been discussed since.
So how does it work? How does it work from going from house to house? Like, do you have her for a week straight and then she goes there for a week? How do you guys do it?
Yeah, and this ties back to the question you asked previously. That's really important, actually. So at first, we just said week on, week off.
Okay.
And we agreed to that, and that seemed to make sense. And at first, So at first I was in the middle of moving and it was chaos, so I didn't really notice as much.
Mm-hmm.
But once we settled into that, in the first few months especially, like, the week off was brutal. I'm like, where's my kid? She's my little snuggly bear. And I'm like, where is she? It's like,
mm-hmm.
holy, what am I going to do next? And I still notice it sometimes. Like, sometimes I really miss her during the week away.
Mm-hmm.
But lately we've actually changed things because now she's old enough to be in different activities that occur on the same day of every week, right? So now we have week on, week off, but she's with my ex every single Tuesday and she's with me every single Wednesday. And it works out really, really well because if the kids got a specific activity every Wednesday, like she's in brownies on Wednesday and she's in dance on Tuesday, then she's got that a little bit more routine going on.
Mm-hmm.
And also her mom is in band every Wednesday. So it's perfect. She would have had to find sitters or leave the kiddo with me on Wednesdays anyways. So now mom can have her activity on Wednesday too. And truly I can have my activity on Tuesday, whatever it might be, if I
mm-hmm.
ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of better. And I know a lot of parents do that. So the child will be at one parent's house on Monday, Tuesday, the other parents on Wednesday, Thursday, and then they just alternate weekends. and still have 50-50. So there's different ways to skin that cat, and that's especially when the child's in activities, that's when things kind of changed, where it's like, oh yeah, I'll always have her on Wednesday, you always have her on Tuesday, and it's been fine. We've been really, really, really flexible about that too. We alternate Christmases, even though my ex doesn't really celebrate Christmas, so it's not that big a deal, but mm-hmm. it's like, oh, she's taking Erica on a trip for 3 weeks. I'm like, go for it. I'll just take her 3 weeks when you get back. Or so Erica gets loads of vacations, and we just work around it.
So when you guys do holidays, so stuff like, obviously, you know, maybe there's stuff that you celebrate that her mom doesn't, or her mom celebrates that you don't, so you guys are really easy give and take for that kind of stuff with each other.
Yeah,
and
we've been totally reasonable.
I mean, have you kind of done something like, have you seen the movie Daddy's Home, where you guys just do, you haven't seen it? Okay, well, I recommend anyone who hasn't seen Daddy's Home, especially the second one with like Mark Wahlberg, amazing. Will Ferrell.
Was his shirt off, Ashley?
Actually, I don't think it was.
Okay.
No.
Just checking.
Anyways, well, that's always like an amazing given if that happens. But but Mel Gibson plays Mark Wahlberg's dad, and then John Lithgow plays Will Ferrell's dad. Anyway, so
oh my God.
Will Ferrell is the stepdad to Mark Wahlberg's like kids and that, and he's with his ex. And anyways, they spend Christmas together. It is like one of the funniest movies, but I can only just imagine like this is a whole co-parenting thing, but it's also like with step-parents of co-parenting and that too. Mm. But anyways, do you have any, like, do you do the holidays together?
No.
Do you do dinners together? Like,
occasionally, yeah.
Okay,
and
for her sake.
I find that valuable in the sense that Erica needs to understand that, A, there's a united front.
Yes, I agree.
And we have, like, overlapping punishments, too. So if Erica's on a 4-day iPad ban from my house, that carries over to mom's house, too.
That's, like, that is unbelievably super important,
and we,
I think.
Oh, totally. And we don't even question it. I would just tell my ex, she's on a 4-day ban. She's got 2 days to serve. Two more days in iPad jail, and she'll just be like, all right, sucks to be you, kid. She doesn't even ask why. And the reverse is true too. I don't even ask why. And because,
but it's not important why, right? It's because you said it and you made that rule and it's being enforced, and
at both sides.
Exactly. Yeah. So they should be enforcing it too, not questioning, well, what was the right? Because as soon as
Absolutely.
They question in front of you, it's like,
it's partially undermining.
That.
Yeah. You can discuss it later, but every parent, whether you're split up or not,
exactly,
has had the mom said, no, I'm going to try dad.
Yes.
Every parent has had that kind of nonsense going on. And I think it's crucially important that parents always back each other up. Mm-hmm. Even if they think the other person's wrong, just shut up, discuss it later, because you can't undermine the other parent in front of your kid. And we still don't, even though we're split. Generally, when we disagree quietly by ourselves and she doesn't know about it.
And that's really good, because, you know, there's so many, I mean, I've witnessed personally so many instances where, you know, the mom and dad, like, they are not even remotely on the same page. They're not together. They're not even in the same house, and they're on totally different paths, trains of thoughts, and everything. Like, it's totally different, and it's like, you go to one house and you're allowed to get away with this. You go to another house and you can't do this. And it's like,
yep. Erica very rarely says, but dad, I can do that at mom's house. And if she does, I give the same answer every time. This isn't mom's house. It's like, and she just doesn't even bother trying anymore. And we're not, another thing too, is I think split parents in particular, cause this happened to me when my parents split, is your split parents are often competing to be the better parent or something like that. And it's like, because it's never about you. Look, like, the universe, frankly, does not give 1/10 of one shit about you. It doesn't. And when you've got a kid, all of a sudden you're even less important in a sense, because you have to balance that.
Mm-hmm.
And try to remember that all the time is not easy, right? It's more about the child than yourself. And then you get all caught up in that, and you find yourself doing stuff that's making you feel better. Oh my God, my ex gave her ice cream. Maybe I should give her more ice cream. I've had that thought. It's crazy. Oh, my ex took her to the Spark Center. I better take her to the zoo. Nonsense. Just always be a good parent. Kids get it. Kids don't need that. And I'll tell you another quick story too, because this has always affected my life. There was an experiment done with puppies where there was a group of puppies, and then the experimenter would go in and he would play with all the puppies and have fun with them and then feed them. And then leave. And then another group of puppies, the experimenter would be totally cold with the puppies, even shove them out of the way or kind of like smack their noses and treat them very poorly and feed them and leave. And then there was a third group of puppies where they randomized the behavior. Sometimes the experimenter would be super nice and play with them and pet them and everything. Sometimes the experimenter wouldn't. And guess which group of puppies ended up being the worst behaved, biggest disaster puppies? The last group.
Of course.
Consistency is crucial. You're better to be cold and distant than be inconsistent. So I always think of that puppies experiment when I'm thinking about if my ex does something that I wouldn't have done. I'm like, nope, back it up anyways. We can talk about it later. Because mm-hmm. And that applies obviously just as well, whether you're split or not. Because kids will always push as hard as they can. It's human nature. It's not that they're doing anything bad, but they want what they want. And if they will try to find a way to get it.
Well, it's just like when you get it's very similar to when like people get puppies and that you see you start training them and that they start learning things. And then there's like that 1 year old puppy that then pushes every boundary again. It's just like a kid, right? It's the pushing of the boundaries. See, how far can I go? Am I allowed to do this kind of stuff in the house? Am I allowed to get away with this?
Totally.
And we're totally feeling that right now with, especially because the two girls, they're like twins right now. And so they're always trying to, you know, I tell them no. And then all of a sudden I find them in the pantry going through and I'm like, no. And even, you know, Tim goes, your mother told you no. Like, and pulls them out. Right. Like mm-hmm. they're just seeing what they can really get, how far they can get away with something.
Yeah, it's true. I actually, it drives me bananas when people treat their kids like pets.
I don't treat my kids like
I see it all the time. When the kid's jumping up and down at the grocery store, she's in line, she's texting or something, and kids, mom, 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 and, you know, it's something stupid and kid-like, right? It's like,
yeah.
Oh, look at the color of that gum package, whatever. Yeah, it's pointless. But then I always hate it when mom goes or dad goes, oh, shush, shush, just, I'm busy. I hate that. All the child wants to be is acknowledged. That's
mm-hmm.
it. Just acknowledge. That's it. Support, acknowledge. You don't have to gush, whatever, but...
But society's really bad.
But that's what you do to a dog. Down, leave me alone. That's what you do to a dog.
Society's really bad when it comes to like screens right now and kids. Like I've actually heard I've heard multiple kids that are like in my family and that have made the comment to me like, oh, my mom, she just, you know, she's always busy texting or something. Or like I've actually witnessed kids saying this like, oh, my mom's always busy texting, and I'm like.
Oh,
the fact that a kid has noticed this and said it, I'm like, wow.
Yeah. My kid is too nuts. Addicted to screens, for sure.
Almost every kid is now. Like
I just try to manage her better. That's why we've got her in so many activities and try to get her outside more. And she's like, but Dad, I hardly ever get to go on my iPad. I'm like,
good.
You went to brownies and then a hockey game. Like, how much better could it be? And that's exactly what I say to her. I'm like, good. Your iPad's useless to you anyway.
If you're
learning something from it, great. Otherwise, it's worthless.
No, exactly. That's a huge... I mean, I know we don't give a ton of screen time. Like, we give, like, I would say a regular amount of screen time to the girls kind of thing to watch something. Like, but they only just figured out that an iPad can do way more. Only just.
Mm-hmm.
Because we never gave them the iPad. We never did that. I only had ever put the iPad on as a noise machine at night. We had downloaded the app, and that's the only way they had ever known it to be.
Oh, cool.
They didn't know that it could do all these other things for so long, and now they figured this out. And so I actually have to take it away every single morning after I turn off the noise machine and put it away, because if I don't, all of a sudden... Hey, the house is really quiet. What the heck? What are they doing? Oh, they're hiding in their closet with the iPad watching Netflix on
it. Ooh, not cool.
No.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I have an informal rule too. Like when we're out in public at a restaurant, maybe, for example, I never have my phone out and I never have it on the table. And in fact, sometimes I go out of my way to leave it in the car. Nothing that important is happening in the next 2 hours.
See, if I'm now... That if like, for example, if I leave the kids with my mom, then yeah, I don't worry about my phone. If I have a babysitter though, like with the girls, I always have my phone, like I'm not checking and everything, but it's always sitting next to me because I need to see if the babysitters are calling me. And now we have finally found teenage babysitters, which is great. We've got a group of them, which is so nice to finally have. So, you know, they want to get paid, they want money. And we actually have babysitters now. For me, it's like, well, you know, they always kind of have questions, right? And so it's like, yeah, okay, I need to answer them if something's going wrong.
For sure. And I'm glued to my phone like everyone else in my business. It's clients. I'll interrupt something important if the phone rings and it's the daycare, obviously. But when it's family time, nope. And I spoke to a family and they have a really cool rule.
Yeah.
They have a bowl. And all the phones, because their children are teenagers or even young adults. And all the phones go in the bowl during dinner. That's it. And moms and dads too. Like everybody, that's the rule. And if I ever, like, she'll be a teenager one day and she'll want to take her phone, I'm going to definitely have a rule, no phones in the bedroom, period. So you're going to bed, your phone is not.
No phones at the dinner table either. Like, we have that rule.
Do you?
And good. That's one rule, actually, our counselor had put in, like,
really?
Asked us to put into place.
Good.
Is when you're at dinner, it's a family time, you know,
yep.
Because the problem is the kids start seeing you do that.
Exactly.
Then they're not paying
attention to
eating. What
do you think they're
going to
do?
Exactly. Yeah. They're not paying attention now to eating. And so, you know what? It's bonding time. That's really what it comes down to. And so, yeah, that's a rule with us. There's been the odd time that, like, Tim's like, oh my God, I've been waiting for this client for, like, 2 days now. Like, do you mind if I just step away? And it's like, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
like
we should be doing that. We should be doing that anyway. Phones are, yeah,
but
that's all. There's five podcasts there.
Oh, for sure. So going back to, like, your daughter, does she have any kind of, like, she asked you anything like, are you and mom going to get back together one day? Has she ever said anything like that?
Once I think.
Oh,
she
did. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think once she said something like, "Well, sometimes I wish you were just back together." And
what did you reply to that?
I just said, "Well, that's just we're not going to be." So far, she's young enough that that's a good enough answer, right? So
she didn't get that. Well, why? Well,
yeah,
why?
a little, yeah. That conversation has happened at least once, and I just, you know, very casually said, "Look, sometimes moms and dads don't stay together, but we both still love you, and it just doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see us both; everything's fine." And she just kind
of bit. She sees both of you, so she's really
right, yeah.
Not lacking, kind of thing.
I honestly feel like she's not, but man, I would be totally lying if I didn't have my doubts fairly frequently and hope, geez, I hope this is not fucking up my kid more than if we'd stayed together. But by the same token, you're nuts if you sacrifice your own life to stay together just for that. Kids can adapt. Half of us came from broken families anyways.
Yep.
And most of us are not serial killers, so it's probably not the end of the world. But
I think as a parent, we always have these kind of doubts.
I really think you'd be crazy not to. There's a whole fleet of psychiatrists out there who only exist to deal with these kind of doubts.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
But I try to think big picture. What do I want for my kid? I want for my kid to be able to find the things that makes her fulfilled in life. And if I don't do that myself, what example am I setting? And she said to me once, point blank, she said, "Dad, your job is to make me..." I said no to something. Your job is to make me happy. I'm like, hold the fuck up. That is not happening. I just about crashed my car on purpose. And I was like, no, it's not. My job is to keep you in clothes, a warm house, maybe food if
love
you're
you.
Good. And much more importantly... to make damn sure that you end up being a decent human being who's capable of independent thought, rational decision-making, and your job is to make you happy. My job is to give you the tools.
Yes.
So she's a 5-year-old, and you can imagine what the response to that was.
She just
absolute silence. Like, what in the F did you just say?
It was going to take her like 2 weeks just to process that whole thing.
Well, hopefully she does process it. But yeah, I realized I was like, that's way over the top. She doesn't really get it, but she knew what she definitely learned was, hopefully, there's a reason for what I'm doing. And I tell her that all the time. Why can't I go on my iPad? Because it's not good for you. Why can't I eat candy for dinner? Because it's not good for you. Oh, she doesn't like it, but she has no choice but to accept it. So she just kind of moves on.
Yeah, it's funny. There's actually been a few times where Tim has tried to, like, really explain something.
A 3-year-old? Good
and
luck.
And I'm like...
I do
I'm
it
like,
anyway, but...
Oh, yeah, Tim does it anyway.
Yeah.
He's like, well, one day I'm like, that's really, like... That's almost going above my head, okay? Like,
yeah, that's okay.
And he's like, it's okay. She'll understand one day and everything. He's like, if she gets something out of what I'm saying, that's all that matters. And I'm like, I guess so.
If she believes that you have a good reason, that's good enough. I find this when I'm talking about taxes with clients sometimes. If I sound like I know what I'm talking about and sound like I have a good reason for what I'm saying,
yeah.
You might not have a clue what I just said, but you know that I know,
yes.
And you probably believe that I'm right because I have a reason for what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's good enough for kids too. They'll get more sophisticated. That's why kids are nothing like puppies, right? Because they become very sophisticated very quickly. But that's okay. Then you can just change how you speak to them. As you think what they can handle, just put it one step further.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I try to treat her like an adult as much as I can. And frankly, she acts like one almost everywhere she goes.
She's also an only child too, right? So, I mean, like only child, they're a lot of times they're they're around adults a lot of the time.
That's true.
Right? So they do act a bit. They do act a bit differently.
It's definitely true. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, can you tell me about a time that you were frustrated with a situation that, like, you wanted your daughter for something, like, on the weekend or something, and it didn't work out because it wasn't your weekend and that, like, can you tell me of times that that's happened?
Yeah, there was one. It was back to the Christmas thing, because I knew my ex didn't celebrate Christmas, so she wanted her on Christmas Eve, but I was having a party at my house with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, it's my turn to have her for Christmas Eve. I'm like, why do you even want her for Christmas Eve? I'm like, I don't come and steal her for Chinese New Year, so why do you want her for Christmas Eve? But she was, because my attitude on Chinese New Year is, well, yeah, go with your mom. That's what you guys do. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm aware of it, but it's not something my family goes out of their way to celebrate, so who cares?
No, yeah.
But anyways, it was her turn, so I had to relent. I mean, it was her turn. It's her right. Christmas mm-hmm. matters. It matters.
But you just moved on from it? Like,
yeah, of course.
Yeah?
Of course. What's the point? You have no benefit by causing conflict, especially when you're technically wrong. So I was like,
yeah.
Well, it was her turn. And I think what my ex was doing was when I stopped to think about it, like before, I was super annoyed because I had this all planned out. Party was at my house. Erica was going to be there. It was going to be great. Right. But I realized, first of all, it was her turn, but I think she doesn't particularly care about Christmas, but Erica does. So it was Kat's turn. So it's fair. So I'm like, all right. So I had to relent. It was the only fair thing to do. It was a fight, but she was going to stick to her guns. And for good reason, because it was her turn. So again, right. It's not about you. It's not about you. Try to think of what's objectively fair if you can, which is really hard sometimes. But yeah, I didn't like it, but I lost that round.
But did you ever think afterwards of like having a talk with your ex about like, hey, you know, like I always let her, regardless if it's my week, I let her come to Chinese New Year and everything
mm-hmm.
with you. Like, and so you don't celebrate Christmas. Like,
yeah,
why can't she?
I did. Yeah, I definitely, it didn't, no, we didn't like discuss it afterwards, but while I was still mad, I was being a jerk. And I did say that, and I was like, well, I'm taking her on Chinese New Year then. And she's like, rawr, and I'm like, see? It's not fair. And then I was like, well, wait, but it is. So I relented. She was
yeah. She
was more right than me. I don't think we were either wrong, but she was more right than I was.
Yeah.
And guess what? I've never taken her on Chinese New Year, because one thing, I'm definitely not as petty. There's no benefit ever to being petty, so I'm just like, what's the point?
Yeah, then, because it's not like you're going to actually do something for Chinese New Year.
Really, well, I might go out of my way to do it because it's important to Erica, but by the same token, it's important to Erica to hang out with her mom on Chinese New Year too. Do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The kid's happy either way. She's going to be happy with me or with her mom, so that's fine.
Well, that's good. So, one of the big questions here is, have either you or your ex started dating?
Oh, yeah. Well,
so I guess, so have either of you, well, from what I'm aware of, you're not actually like any serious relationship with anyone.
Not quite true.
No. Oh, not quite true.
It has been
a while since
Ashley's catching up here.
Yeah, we haven't hung out in a while. So, and you're not very like social media kind of lovey dovey.
I literally have deleted all my social media
accounts.
There
you go. See, so like, I can't even like stalk him to find out if he's like, you know, having, you know, you're like smooching with people or anything right now.
This is true. I deleted all social media except Facebook, because I use it for a lot of advertising. So, but I've deleted the app from my phone. I just found that stuff was wasting too much of my time, so
it wastes too many people's time.
Yeah,
but
there's benefit though. That's how you can. It's a good way to stay connected and
sure.
see what everybody
for
else
sure.
is up to. But
I can find out if you're doing these things. I know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So just so you know, folks, Ashley's a bit of a creeper. So there you go, Facebook creeper. Don't worry. You should see my business partner. He's the best Facebook creeper ever. He's hilarious. So. Anyway, I guess you could make the argument that my ex's quotey finger dating was what's led to our relationship failing, but there you go. But that ended very, very quickly, and she's been painfully single ever since. And she, now we're going to talk about the unhealthy split parenting. She forbids my child from mentioning my girlfriend's name. And this is obvious. I mean, all of you are probably horrified. You should be. That is a terrible idea because obviously you should never keep secrets from your kid unless it's obviously above their head and doesn't matter. And you should never teach your kid to be keeping secrets from you, because
so,
what other secrets are they going to keep from
you?
So
this girlfriend of yours has met Erica?
Oh, yeah. We literally lived together as of a month ago. Surprise.
Oh, okay. Oh, there's another big surprise, too.
Yeah.
So what is that step for you? So obviously there was a step that happened that made you go, okay, you can meet my daughter. What was that step for you?
When I knew it was going to be more than just fun.
Okay.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
So...
And how long had you known each other before?
Oh, several months.
Okay, so yeah, it wasn't like right away kind of thing.
No.
Met and everything. Like, that's not, to me personally, that's not really fair to a kid if you're just constantly bringing in a new person. Like,
it depends on the context, right? Like, if you just say, hey, this is my friend, blah, 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 and you're not being weird and obvious in front of them, I don't think it's that bad, but I can tell you, because I checked, every psychologist, family psychologist, everything on the internet says, don't do that. And I strongly recommend you don't. But it's also very different depending on your gender, right? If a woman's bringing men around, that seems to be far, far more dangerous and worse than if a man's bringing women around. Either way, stability is better. And if you're gonna do that, I'd say definitely don't make it look like boyfriend, girlfriend stuff. Make it look like
just a friend.
This is a friend. Like, yeah. I have clients around all the time, and I have female friends who come around, whatever. So it's just friends, whatever.
Yeah, I can say,
but
from when
I
was
I still tried to avoid it, and I certainly never implied a relationship context with my girlfriend now until quite some time into it. Like, years into it before Erica was anything like would think that we're more than just friends. Like,
yeah.
No kissing, no hug, well, just friendly hugging.
Yeah.
No touching, nothing weird in front of the child whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, so that person's just a friend. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And remember, kids don't have sexuality, so they don't ask those questions until they're a lot older.
Yeah.
They don't get, boyfriend, ew! So... they don't really ask questions like that because kids don't have sexuality until they're, I don't know. 10.
Yeah, because I remember as when I was young, it was before my dad was with my stepmom, and he had... Like, they were going golfing, and I was supposed to be with him that weekend. Anyways, they took me with them. I had never met this woman before that he was with. Anyways, it was a date, basically. And I don't know if he forgot, maybe he had me that weekend. Anyways, I went along with them.
How old were you?
6 or something like that, right? And, like...
So that's, like, 12 years ago, guys.
Yeah. Okay, no. I am pretty young, but... but, no, like, and I remember, like, my mom even kind of had said to me, like, oh, you commented on this chick so about, like, I remembered her name and everything, like, multiple... I never saw her again after that day.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Ever again. And I knew it was, like, more than a friend.
Oh,
like,
you
I
did?
Could
even
I could tell she was more than a friend.
Yeah, Dad
right?
should have done a better job.
Right? Like, it didn't seem like, obviously, like, he had been hugging her. Kind of, like, it was kind of, you could just tell that they were, clearly it was, like, a date kind of thing that was going on, right? But, and I remember being like, well, what happened to her? Like, where did she go? Like, and I remember feeling, like, kind of like, well, this is weird. Like, why was she in the picture and now she's not? I've met her once. Like, and I remember asking about her. I do remember asking about her a few times, and my dad was just like, oh, wait, whatever. Like, it's no. But like, and so like, to me, from my personal, obviously I'm no counselor or psychiatrist or everything, but for me, I knew as a kid, I was like, well, that's weird to bring someone in the picture that clearly didn't look like a friend. And then you never see them again. Like, that, to me, that is hard on a kid.
Yeah, I totally think it can be. And like I said, everything you Google is going to say that. So you definitely want to pick your spots for that. Try to make sure it's somebody that you're relatively serious about. It's just like the puppies again, right? Nothing is better for a child than stability and consistency. So
yeah.
So
yeah.
For sure. So when girlfriend gets in the picture, in fact, I'm not even 100% sure if Erica gets the whole girlfriend situation even now, even living together. But
you guys are just roommates, really, right?
Maybe. Maybe she sees it that way. I don't know. But we're a little less shy about kissy stuff. But we don't go out of our way. We're not like demonstrative that way anyway. So, but
you and your ex seem like such easygoing people that she's really.
She's not, honestly.
No, so, okay, so, but I mean, okay, so, I mean, well, that's a bit surprising, but, like, Erica seems to have such a, like, easygoing, like, just kind of observing of what's happening instead of reactive, almost, right?
Yeah, she is, yeah, she's, it's like when she's being dramatic, she's, like, intentionally being dramatic. She's
well,
not, she's not one of those,
kid, though?
No, a lot of kids are, like, I'll tell you, like, my brother's kids are naturally dramatic. But their mom is naturally dramatic.
Yeah.
And my brother is actually, to some extent, naturally dramatic, too. So that's just what they know. So they, like, when, if the, like, if his oldest kid doesn't get what she wants, she goes ballistic. she'll scream at the top of her lungs, and that happened to Erica. Did that about 3 times, and that was the end, because we put an immediate end to that.
How did you end that? Because, like, so my girls are going through that phase kind of right now, and you tell them no, and no, you're not getting that, and sometimes they just go into this complete meltdown, and you're like, oh my god, like, mm-hmm. like no, I've said no, and even like both Tim and I are saying no. It's not like, you know, one's like overriding the other on this, being like, oh well, maybe no, like we're both saying no, what the heck, like why are you still pushing this so hard?
Yeah.
How did you guys shut it down for you?
Well, that definitely, there's different ways to do it. It depends on your kid a lot.
Oh, of course it does.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
That's why there's 1,000 books on parenting and none of them agree precisely.
Yeah.
So it could be a difference between the kids, but when Erica would scream, first of all, there was a rule, unequivocally no screaming, and she would, a scream would immediately be followed by absolutely no screaming, and we hate raising our voices, but you don't have to do it very often. You only have to do it a few times and knock that thing out. And then sometimes kids go into a totally uncontrolled meltdown.
Yes, which is a tantrum.
And where they're just raging, screaming, like screaming, crying, right? And what I used to do is I would shout so that she could hear, but I would just shout her name, Erica. Just try to get through to her to make her listen just for a second. Because when they're doing that, they can't listen. Your best bet is to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Your best bet is to make sure they're not in any danger and walk.
Yeah.
Because then they'll scream. Yeah, they'll scream their bloody heads off, but so what? You can't deal with an adult when they're completely emotionally screaming and going nuts, and a kid, no chance.
Yeah.
So I would usually be able to get through to her just by kind of like screaming her name so that she could hear, and then try to talk to her. And sometimes that worked, sometimes it didn't. And but she stopped screaming pretty fast. She just knew that wasn't allowed. And honestly, she's better for it. She's a very even-tempered kid. She gets happy, she gets sad, she's emotional like anyone else, but she just knows that screaming's not allowed. And then now she's much older and more sophisticated. We can talk about, you know, like we use even weird techniques that we learned at school and stuff about whether you're in a red mood or a yellow mood.
Yeah,
so you're kind of sad or you're angry or whatever it is. And then we can kind of at least get her to identify her own feelings. And you never say, oh, you can't do that. You can't feel that way. But it's the behavior that you can't do. You can't scream. You can be angry, but you can't scream, period.
Mm-hmm.
You can be sad, but you can't cry. No, I wouldn't say that. Of course you can cry, but you know what I mean? The point is to separate the behavior from the emotion. The emotion's okay. We all get angry. It's just like, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to stomp our feet? Are we going to go in the corner? Are we going to punch a pillow? If you're boys, right, tend to be more, you're going to be more physically aggressive that way. Are we going to hug it out? That's what worked with Erica. I used to kind of scream her name to try to get her attention.
Yeah.
And then hug it out. And it didn't matter how mad I was, because again, you don't matter, and they're not capable of considering that until
mm-hmm,
you teach them
mm-hmm.
that when they're a little older.
Yeah.
And it would usually work to hug it out, because I think usually when kids are either angry or upset or crying, all they really want is to feel better.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Immediately you usually feel better when you get a hug, and it works great for little kids. And then she stopped with the screaming and temper tantrums too. She did that like twice, and that just
nice.
That we were done with that.
Nice. Okay, so one thing I want to kind of go back to is what you mentioned about, so your ex doesn't want your girlfriend's name mentioned at all. Like, how did you find out about this? How did this even come up? Like, your daughter must have said something like, oh, I can't say her name, or like, how did this happen?
How did that happen?
Like,
okay,
this, it's definitely not a good thing for your ex to be putting these kind of rules in place. Like, it's very...
I personally think that is absolutely batshit crazy, and I think it has the potential to seriously undermine their relationship,
mm-hmm.
because it's like saying, if mom doesn't want to hear something, I better not say it. Well, what if mom doesn't want to hear about I'm experimenting with drugs or sex or other weird stuff when it really matters?
Right.
Obviously she's not experimenting with drugs at 7, I hope.
We hope so.
but,
she's not, my
but
God.
I think that is a terrible idea. And I go out of my way to do... So we agree on most parenting, but I think that's nuts. But I go out of my way to be the exact opposite.
But
you
it
can
also
tell
breaks
me
that
anything.
One connection, right? Because so for so long she's seen that you guys are very on the same page and you know, amicable through
mm-hmm.
so much, right? And then this happens, you get a girlfriend, and now she's seeing like, whoa, Like, what's going on here? Like, mom is, like, being so negative towards a change in dad's life when really she doesn't even live there. Like, there's almost, like, a break that, to me, would happen in connection for myself when I look at it, right? Obviously, I'm not a counselor. Yeah. This is not a counselor.
We're more sophisticated than kids, though. I really think Erica just knows that that's the rule, and she just doesn't do it. And crazily, she's surprisingly good at it. She just doesn't do it. She just avoids that, and... there's two reasons I don't like it. I mean, first of all, I don't think it fosters a relationship of trust with her mom. And second of all, I don't want her to become a good liar, even lies of omission.
Right, right.
In fact, that's our biggest rule. We talk about lying fairly frequently. She knows bloody well there better not be lies. It's the only thing I've ever spanked her for in the last 4 years. And it's, to me, it's the absolute crucialist? There you go. Most important rule that we've got in our household anyways, absolutely no lying, including lies of omission. And so in that regard, I try to be the exact opposite because I think that as things get more complicated, Erica might not want to tell it to my ex, but then she better be able to tell it to me at least.
That's your hope, is that she'll always come to you at least.
Well, yeah, so that she'll come to somebody trustworthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not that Kat's not. Of course she is. But if Erica's afraid to say anything, then you have this huge, huge problem. And I think it's a disaster. And I think it comes from it. Like, I keep saying it's not about you. It's not about you. And it's not. And it's not about her either. But I think that's about her. I mean, obviously, this has something to do with some rage, jealousy, which is horribly ironic in the circumstances. But nonetheless... I totally think it's not healthy. I totally think it's crazy. I've told her that more than once, but it's not. Her life is not my life anymore. So, whatever. Be crazy by yourself, I guess, and I'll do the best I can to mitigate it on Erica's side. But it's not like it's changing. It's not soon anyway. It's long term, and it's like. It took a long time for my dad to meet my stepdad. I had to invite him to a Christmas party together after like 15 years. So
really?
Yeah. So but if my ex was actually dating and had a guy, I'd be like, great. When do I meet him? Like, let's do this. Let's have dinner because I want to know who has access to my kid. I want to know who's punishing my kid.
Exactly.
I want to know who might be touching my kid. And frankly, I trust her judgment. So it's probably going to be a cool guy and it's going to be like, cool. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with my kid or I'll kill you.
Yeah.
But other than that. Let me know if I can help. Like, have a good relationship. Great.
And that would be the
but
most
she's
ideal
not,
thing.
But she's precisely
sure.
the opposite. And this
There's
is weird
gotta
because...
There's got to be a jealousy thing. There has to be a jealousy
well, it's
level
about,
there, right?
It's obviously about her. There's obviously an ego thing
for
there.
For sure.
Right? And that's... Probably you should stifle your
because
ego
why
somewhat.
Why wouldn't you want to know who your ex is with that's an influence now being around your child?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't you want to know who that is?
What if she's crazy? What if she's a drug user? What if she's... Right? Like... those questions have never come up, hopefully she trusts my judgment too.
Was your ex really angry that you moved out so fast? Like, has there ever been resentment?
If there is, I don't know about it.
Okay.
We had a couple of good flaming fights afterwards.
Right.
After things kind of settled in. I think when I moved out, she was utterly and totally shocked.
Right.
And some of those nights when I was there by myself, so was I. But it needed to be done. So
right. Okay. So maybe this is just she didn't realize that you were going to move on or something. Like maybe she just really never wrapped her head around that. Maybe you're just supposed to be by yourself for
Maybe
right?
She thought she could have her cake and eat it too. I don't know. Well, that's what I said to her. Like she's like, I can't believe you have a girlfriend, blah blah blah. What'd you think I was gonna do?
We'll play Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah,
sit
at home and...
Is that how you met this chick?
No. You don't meet chicks through Dungeons and Dragons. That's the problem. Actually, frankly, you want to go back to that? It's more... I've always said that almost anybody should like this game because it's basically a story you interact with and there's kind of a role-playing aspect to it and people do that anyway. And it's fun. And
it's
you're kind of problem solving and you're just interacting with a story. So it seems like anybody should like it under the right circumstances. But guess what? Women are playing at much, much higher rates now. So maybe you could actually meet a girl at Dungeons and Dragons
that's
now.
That's not that surprising because women are playing, you know, like video games way more hardcore than they ever
used
to. I mean, me and my sisters, honest to God, like we've always played video games. The three of us were always playing video games back in the day. We had the original Nintendo on that.
Nice,
and,
so did we.
And I mean, you have...
Now you know Ashley's not really 18. The original Nintendo.
You know, like, oh yeah, no, like, but my mom had that for the girl, my sisters and everything, right? And I mean, I still, you can look behind you there, all my video game systems, like I have like almost every video game system. I love video games. I don't think it's insane to me that it just because you're a girl, you shouldn't play video. Like, a lot of my friends growing up, and I had more guy friends than girlfriends, to be fair, but a lot of the girls didn't play video games. And, like, I always thought it was fucking weird. I'm like, why? It's fun.
Same here.
Why is this only a guy thing?
Yeah, same here.
Doesn't make any sense.
The boys did that, the girls didn't do it.
Right? Like, I get, you know, guys probably don't want to play with a Barbie or anything, but, like, it's a video game.
Me and my buddy did. But that's because he had two younger sisters, and we used to tear Barbie's head off and put it in the dollhouse's microwave.
I don't think you were actually playing with a Barbie like
no.
a girl would, okay?
No, we were trolling his sisters.
That's called torturing Barbies, okay?
No, Barbie's head goes right back on. It's no problem. We just put the head in the oven of their dollhouse. The girls were like, bah! Hey, it was funny when we were 12. What can I say?
You were 12?
13, yeah. It was hilarious to us.
But yeah, no, I that's why I kind of asked, because I truly believe there's probably more females doing this kind of stuff nowadays. I totally believe.
And like I said about that game, just nobody cares and it's way off topic, but you're interacting with a story. It's like being in a movie instead of watching a movie. So
acting.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, but you're kind of problem solving and there's aspects of tactical and gaming and shit like that, but you don't have to focus on it. You can make it whatever you want. So the beauty of it is there's rules, but there's not, you can break them, you can do whatever you want. So everybody does it a little differently. It seems like it should have universal appeal, but until recently, definitely not. It was definitely nerds only.
So when this is a funny thing, actually, when Tim and I went out to Vancouver, we went off to like a park because we wanted to like be alone kind of thing. And we went to like go walk into a park and that, and it was really deserted except for these role-playing people. And we're like, okay, I don't think we can be alone here.
They're all dressed up.
Oh, dressed up with swords and you know, like battle armor and everything. And we're like,
We don't do that. Some people do, but that's probably something like Ren Faire or the SCA Society what do they call it?
You know the movie Role Models? You have to have seen Role Models, right? This is the kind of stuff that they do. Like,
oh, really?
You have to watch it. That's like that's one of Tim's like favorite movies. He thinks it's hilarious. Anyways, yeah, they basically, it's a whole getup of dressing up and like this battle warfare. Like, it's just, it's hilarious.
Well, those societies actually exist. People actually make their own armor and everything. It's incredible. Yeah. I have a friend who made a chainmail coif. It's called, it's a helm. He actually made it because he likes working in machine shops, and he was never even into any of this stuff. He's just handy with machinery, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool.
You
except
sell it.
it's pretty cool unless you show it to a woman, but it's cool for me. and just for the record, folks, I'm not the one wearing a Game of Thrones shirt right now, so I think Ashley's maybe closet D&D friend. I'm a closet fantasy fan too.
I love Game of Thrones, man.
Who doesn't?
Like,
until the end.
Doesn't everyone just wish they had a dragon to fly around on?
Hell yeah.
Like, I always said, like, that would have made my commute from northwest to southeast every day so much easier. Just fly over everyone. Like,
I wouldn't mind flying around on Daenerys, but that's a whole different thing. I'm terrible. Until the last season. The last season was a dumpster fire. If you're watching Game of Thrones, stop at the end of season 7 and just guess what's going
to
happen.
You can't, because if you stop, then you don't get to see Starbucks' advertising.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oops. That's right. I forgot about that.
Who fucked up there?
Yeah, that's right. Just watch the clip on YouTube. Trust me, don't watch season 8. There's more people who signed the petition to rewrite season 8 of Game of Thrones than care about anything political.
That's actually like kind of disrespectful on some level. Like, all these actors put in the time and everything to film.
Well, the actors just did what they were told. They didn't write that trash.
No, but I'm just saying, like, they're not going to rewrite it. They're not going to redo it. Right? Like, so to me, it's like, what a waste of your fucking time to start this petition. That's something that you know is not going to fucking happen.
I hated the end. I hated all of season 8, and you will never find my name on a petition. I just roll my eyes and
I
wish I stopped at season 7 and just fantasized my own ending.
You're just the one that started the petition. Your name's
never
not on there.
No, never, never, never. Never, never, never.
So, is there anything, we're kind of at the end here, is there anything wrapping up that you want to tell my listeners, you know, that's like number one when it comes to co-parenting? I mean, there's so many things to really, you know, that we have discussed in that, but like, what's your ultimate, in your opinion, number one to making it work?
Yeah. It's hard. So based on what we do, like in taxes, you wouldn't think this is true, but we see all the divorces, we see good marriages, we see bad marriages, we see divorces, we see nasty ones, amicable ones, we see kids struggling. We see receipts for psychologists, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. So what I think, and this is just from observation, right? Like, obviously, you know, I'm not conducting psychiatric studies, but just from observation, I really, really think too many people are tied up in their own egos all the time. Never use your children as a weapon against your ex. Remember, hopefully you hate lawyers more than you hate your ex too, but no matter how much you hate your ex, it's not about them. Mm-hmm. It's not even about you. You're stuck with this kid situation and you have to make the best of it. And it's really just about the kids. So the best thing I can suggest is to minimize your own ego to whatever extent humanly possible, because almost no good can ever come from it. And try to be objectively fair about what your ex's situation is, right? Like when we were talking about custody, it's absurd for me to expect that I should get more than 50% custody, because why should she give up more than 50% mm-hmm, custody? Mm-hmm. But I've seen people fighting for one extra day or whatever, just to avoid things like child support or whatever. It's like, none of that is in your child's best interest. So just try to stifle your own ego, try to make decisions collaboratively in the child's best interest. I think and I know that's super hard to do because it's super emotional and you're super pissed off because you hate that person probably, or they hate you, which is just as bad. So if you can kind of get out of your own head, try to be objectively fair with your ex and put your kid first, probably your best bet.
Yeah, I think that's a really good message to put out there. I think there's a lot of co-parenting that there's a lot of huge struggles and everything. I mean, I'm sure you know people that don't even do it the way I think you and your ex do it really well. And you've got these few hiccups and obviously this new hiccup, but you know, like, I think this is a really good podcast for people out there that are struggling with co-parenting and to try and make shit work, right?
So I'm going to tell my girlfriend that you call her a hiccup because that's funny. And
no, I'm saying the situation is a hiccup.
I was like, by the way, you're a hiccup.
No, the situation is this one little hiccup right now that, throughout this podcast, like you guys sound like you've been on the same page 50-50, you know, like you guys have been really good about the sharing, custody yep. and everything like that and going back and forth. And now this has been like the thing that's kind of caused her to not be as okay and cool with stuff.
Definitely. And
I apologize to your girlfriend.
No,
if she thinks I call her a hiccup, like, I'm not trying to refer to her as that.
I guarantee she gets a chuckle out of it. If you date somebody with a sense of humor, trust me. But it hasn't always been easy, but it hasn't been anywhere near as hard as it could have been. And as hard as I've seen. Like, I've seen people actively use their children as a weapon to fuck with the other parent.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, move on. You're both happier. That nobody has ever gotten separated / divorced and found out it was a bad move. Mm-hmm. It's always a better move for both of you.
Yeah.
Always. Even if it's completely one-sided. The person who didn't decide that and who's a complete shock or something like that, that person's going to be better off too in the long run. It's just that you have to try to get to the long run state as soon as you can, because you've only got one chance. If you spend your whole life dwelling on some shit, terrible situation that happened to you years ago, I don't think that's productive at all. And I don't think it's good for you. And I don't think it's good for probably people around you either, especially if you have kids.
Sure.
So yeah, we've been pretty lucky. But by the same token, I think we've created a lot of our own luck, just trying to keep the big picture in mind.
It's hard for some people to actually see the big picture.
I see it all
really
the time.
Is.
All
it
the
really
time.
Is hard for a lot of people to see the big picture.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many men I've seen who are like, that fucking woman taking all my goddamn money, blah, 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 blah. And how many women, on the other side, where it's like, oh, he's doing this and he's a bad person. And they're always talking about each other and not talking about themselves, about what they can do better, about how they can learn and about how they can move on with their lives. And it's not to categorize men and women any differently. It's just that I'm saying neither side seems to let go for different reasons. It's better for everyone, including yourselves, including the kids.
Yes.
Especially the kids. And then the kids just have to adjust to the new normal. Kids are ridiculously good at that. People are ridiculously good at that. This is going to sound awful, but remember, people lived in concentration camps for 5 years and survived. people can adapt to anything, even the most horrid circumstances you can imagine. So surely your kid can adapt to, I got to move back and forth every Monday. Mom picks me up on Monday. Dad picks me up next Monday. Surely your kid can adapt to that.
Especially if you're making the best of everything, right? Sure. And that's,
kids
you
need
know,
to
I
know
think
that they're loved and happy. And
one thing that I've always noticed and that stood out, and you know, it was one thing. Tim had a friend, and I used to get after him all the time because he always used to rag on his ex in front of his kid, and I used to give him shit all the time about it. I'm like, I'm like, that is still his mother.
Good.
You cannot be talking about her like, you can't talk about her like this. This is his mother. He loves his mother. Regardless of what happened between the two of you, regardless of what you think, this is his mother.
Oh man, I'm so glad you did that.
Because I remember there were a few times that my dad had, or even my stepmom would say something about my mom. And you know what? It fucking affects a child.
For sure.
It affects a child. And the thing is, that's your mother. That kid loves their mother.
Yeah.
You know, just like that kid loves their father and that. Like, you can't be putting them through the mud, saying what kind of a shitty person they are. Because you know what it does? It really makes a kid think, like, what the fuck? Like, what is wrong with them?
Yeah,
like, there is nothing wrong with them.
Your kid's only going to think one of two things there. They're going to think you're an asshole for saying it, or they're going to think something less of the equally most important person in their life. And so they're either going to disrespect you as a result, or they're going to undermine the relationship with the first or second most important person in their life. What benefit is there possibly from that? And
yes.
I'm really glad you said that, because especially as the girlfriends, take the higher road, because it's crucial. And sometimes I want to say nasty things about my ex, but I even do, but never in front of my kid.
No, never in front. That's what your friends are for.
Even when your siblings are for. Siblings, no kidding. even in friendly conversation with my kid about something that I disagree with from her mom's side, I'll just be like, yeah, your mom just does it that way. I do it this way. I don't really agree, whatever. Because like maybe you and your ex have different religion, different politics,
Yes.
Okay, well, mom voted for the orange guys and I vote for the blue guys, and that's all it is to a kid. And they're like, some people are blue, some people are red, some people are orange. Whatever.
Yeah.
They don't get it, and we don't agree on everything. So what? It's not drama. It doesn't need to be drama.
No.
And then that's also showing them that when they like ponies and the other kid likes strawberry shortcake, neither one's right or wrong.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's exactly what you're showing them. But yeah, that's one of my biggest things, is because a lot of times what I always have seen is that kid now undermines that parent because, well, why else would my dad say something like that about my mom? Like, they undermine them. They don't listen to them in that, right?
Parents were not cool about that, and I don't think it was good for us.
No, it's not. It's not good. It's not good for any kid. A kid does not need to hear, right? It's just like, I'm not going to tell my girls about, like, what I did that was super bad as a teenager.
Yeah, and certainly not about what your ex did. That's even worse, right?
Yeah.
Like, and here's the thing. Under the circumstances that we broke up, that sounds pretty bad, and it sounds like I can grab the moral high road and be like, oh yeah, it's all your mom's fault, blah blah blah, if she didn't blah. Well, guess what, folks? Nobody ever, probably virtually no breakups are completely one-sided.
No, they're not.
Series of things that led to this. It's complicated. There's 17 years of history. It's not as simple as that. And trying to say that your ex is a bad person in front of your kid, that should literally be a crime. It should be a crime. It should be a lot more of a crime than dressing up in brown face. Don't worry.
You just had to throw that in, eh?
just the news of the day is so funny. So funny. I don't think it's personally, I don't think it's the slightest bit racist. Like, the people he's with think it's funny, but that shouldn't be a crime. But man, undermining the most important person in your child's life besides you, or including you, is the worst thing you can do to your kid. It's hard to think of anything worse. I can't believe that didn't come up sooner. But it's because it's because my ex and I never do that. At least as far as I know.
That's why.
Because
I know she
thinks lowly of me in many, many ways, right? So, but I'm 99% sure she doesn't say that crap in front of my kid because
it's not appropriate.
Doesn't help anyone.
Well, and
doesn't help her. Say it later.
No,
tell
it
me
doesn't.
Later. I don't mind.
No, exactly. That's just it, right? That's what your friends are for. That's what your parents are for. That's what they are all for. A kid, a kid's job and responsibility is to be a kid.
Right. And the kid needs the most important thing. I mean, clothes, food, shelter. the kid's most, the most important thing the kid can have is two parents that love them, even if they're not together.
Even if they don't love each other, they love their kid. And that's what and matters at the end of the day, for sure.
If your, and your kid, and don't think your kid doesn't recognize it. They do. Mm-hmm. No question. I honestly think that's the worst thing you can do. And of course, it's unbelievably selfish. Unbelievably selfish. Who could possibly gain except your ego by trying to undermine the other person because you don't like them? That's craziness to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Craziness. I've almost said bad things and then gone, whoa, better not do that.
That's good that you have that stop that happens, sometimes, though, right? Like, because it's hard. It can be hard, but
when you get
right?
fired
like,
up.
Yeah. When you get fired up, it's like you just want to say whatever. And I'm not even talking about just being a parenting thing. Like, you want to just say something. You just want to. I had an incident the other day, and luckily, I didn't just respond to the text. I just kind of, I went to say something, and I looked at it, and I went, no, I deleted it. I'm like, because I'm like, what good is going to come from me saying this to this person?
Yeah.
Because I know the way they react, they always fight back for one. And I felt like that's what they were trying to get me to do to begin with. And honestly, because I've been doing so much counseling recently,
uh-huh.
It's really helped me to realize how to control that for
myself.
Like,
be like Elsa, let it go.
Let it go.
That's the best thing about this text culture. I hate the text culture.
I know.
And I hate the email culture. It's like just phone. It's easier. But you know what? You can always stop and think before you send a raging text or email. And man, I've rewritten emails.
Me too.
Spent an hour rewriting, retyping emails. And then chopped everything down to 4 sentences.
And had 3 people like read it over and everything too. Yeah, I've done that. I've spent like, most 2 hours on
an
email.
Get me off the ledge. And that's the best thing about the text and email culture is that it allows you to have a back down in hostilities, which is great.
If you can, that's the thing.
Well,
if you can. Exactly.
You don't want to. Like, man. Rage texting.
Really bad. It can be very bad.
Yeah, I've deleted so many emails where I was just like, why? And even then I still sent too many where I'm like, why bother?
Yeah.
Why am I making this about me? This is so dumb.
Yeah.
So just let it go. And as I've heard a really good way to think about that. Just think of 10 years, 10 hours and 10 seconds. If it's not going to matter in 10 years, it's not going to matter in 10 hours, and it's certainly not going to matter in 10 seconds. So just let it go. All you're doing is satisfying your need to get your thing off your chest or your ego, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's all you're doing. And 10 years from now, it didn't matter anyways. Just chill out, zen out. Don't send it. Better yet, don't say it. Because we can't have all of our relationships by text. Thank God.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. This was a lot of fun and it was really good to catch up and find out more about your life that I didn't know for so long.
Yeah.
It has been that long. Literally, I've been having babies. So, we haven't seen each other in a really long time, actually.
Just here and there for dropping stuff off. So I really appreciate it too. It's what a fun but weird way to catch up. And thanks for being so organized. This is actually fun. I'll say one more thing about kids. You learn from them. And just through this little interview, I've actually learned a lot too, because until somebody asks you to articulate what you're doing and why, maybe you don't, you're kind of flying by the seat of your pants like we all do. So even for me, I think like, thanks, because I'm kind of like, oh yeah, I remind myself why I do these things.
Yeah.
Keep your eye on the damn ball. Don't F up your kids. Don't F up your kids. Is that going to F up my kid? Probably better not do it. So it's great to be able to articulate why, and then you kind of maybe feel like you're on the right track. Or not, in some cases. I'm like, yeah.
But we're all not, everyone remember, we're all not fucking perfect. We're all going to do things that could potentially just be a stupid thing too. And it's like, oh, well, you know what? All of our parents did things. It was like, should they have done that? No, but we fucking survived and we're still fucking good at the end of the day and we're still surviving in life. So we're not perfect. Just do the best that you can.
Yeah.
That's what people ask for, is do the best you can.
There should have been a question then, name your top 5 fuck ups. Cause that would have kept us busy for a whole podcast.
Oh my God. No, I don't want to wait. Top 5 fuck ups in life.
No,
or
just parenting. Just
okay.
Parenting.
Okay. Then that could be a bit shorter, but
yeah, no.
In
life, we'll have to do that with like fake voices, like, it's like, the cops will kick the door down. Ashley will get carried out here in handcuffs.
Watch my kids until Tim's home.
Will do.
But yeah, thanks so much for coming on. And yeah, we'll have to... Terry's always full of lots of knowledge, so I definitely want to have you on. Well, you've got lots to say.
I'm full of lots of opinions. Doesn't mean any of them are right, but anyways.
True. You've got lots of opinions. That's totally accurate. So I'd love to have you on for another podcast. I'll have to figure out one to bring you on.
No topic is forbidden.
Yep. So yeah, I would love to have you on another one. Thank you to all my listeners for listening, and you guys can check me out at You're On with Ashley Goring on Instagram. Message me if you have any questions. I just want to do a huge shout out to everyone that listened to my last podcast. It's my most listened to podcast in the shortest amount of time ever. It's almost at 400 listens. And none of mine even come close to that. All my other ones, like, I have a few that are over 100. This one just skyrocketed. Even within the first 2 days, it was at over 200. And I know it was a really, really emotional and serious topic in regards to Courtney, who passed away. You know, and so our love and everything is always with Courtney's family and all of friends and everyone that was so supportive in regards to that, what happened with that situation, and to her beautiful girls that are being well taken care of now by her grandparents. So, you know, I just want to say thank you to all of you listeners, and I hope you guys do come back and listen to my other episodes. But thank you all again, and everyone have a calculated day. We'll chat soon.